Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you give us what we just sang, that your peace in our hearts because of what Jesus has done for us. Holy Spirit, come and speak through your word and my words that you might draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, we're continuing through Romans. We're going to be in Romans 5, so if you want to, if you brought your Bible and want to follow along there, that's good. If there's pew Bibles, it's printed in the bulletin as well. And we did a bit of Romans 1 and Romans 3 last week and kind of had to skip to 5, but from here out it'll kind of be pretty close verse to verse. And I forgot to mention in this service last week, I also have a number of these. They're called Reading Romans with Luther. So a pastor in the Detroit area wrote it. It's very accessible to get into Martin Luther's commentary on it. It's quite good. I've enjoyed going through it. There's $10, which is discounted. They're out in the fellowship hall. If you want one to augment your study this summer and to kind of get into some deeper, meatier stuff along with Romans. But we're going to start right where I said before is verse 1, Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a summary of the scriptures. This is the gospel in one verse. There are many places in Romans where Paul writes the gospel in one verse. And many of these words and phrases appear all over the book. But the first word is, therefore. And every time you come upon a therefore, you have to look back to find out what it is. Yes, therefore. And so what are we supposed to look back at? Here it is, everything that's gone on before. Chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, which were summarized, this is what we did last week, summarized by Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by God's grace. And so there's that word that appears again, justified. And then verse 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus. I know you've heard me say this before, but the word justified is a great example of pull apart the word and it tells you what it means. Just if I'd. By faith in Christ, it's just if I'd, one, never sinned. The way God looks at you because of Jesus by faith through baptism, God looks at you just if I'd never sinned, and also just if I'd always obeyed. You'll see later, by the blood of Jesus, we're forgiven and renewed. But yet, I haven't lived perfectly. You haven't lived and loved perfectly. Jesus has. Jesus lived a perfect life, and all of that he gives to you as a free gift by faith. So justified means God looks at you just if I'd, one, never sinned, and two, always obeyed. And when God looks at you that way, you absolutely have peace with God. Now, I want to talk about that word peace. When we often think of peace, we often think of it this way. We think of peace as the absence of things. When you have these beauty pageants and they get the question pulled out of the box and what's the thing you want to work for most in the world, what do they say? They say world peace. And when we think of world peace, we think world peace means no war. Now that's a good thing, don't get me wrong, but the absence of conflict. When you go to a family reunion and you're hoping for peace at the family reunion, that generally means what? No fights, yeah. No conflict, no arguments. Or maybe it's when you walk along the beach with the sand between your toes and it's early in the morning, the sun is barely rising, and it's one of those rare calm days on Lake Michigan and you think, oh, this is so peaceful. No wind, no waves. No people. Absence, right? Peace in the Bible is very, very different. And it comes from the Old Testament, always talking about shalom. Shalom. It's a greeting. You go to Israel, they don't say hi, they say shalom. And it doesn't mean the absence of things, but the presence. We think of peace as absence. Very much in the Bible, shalom is God's presence. God brings it. God's blessing. God is here. God brings his blessing with us when God is here. Shalom means that things are right in every way in the world and your life. Shalom means your relationships are right. Your health is going well. Your life in general is going well. Shalom means financial flourishing, emotional flourishing, and especially spiritual flourishing. It means flourishing in every way. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have shalom with God through Jesus. Next verse. So if you see Numbers, we're skipping 2 through 5. I actually preached on it not that long ago, so we're going to skip that and go to verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare to die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus loves sinners. It's easy to say, but it's a truth that I think escapes us many times. Jesus loves sinners. Do you believe that God loves you just as much right now as he does in your worst moment? Or do you believe that God's heart beats for you just as much right now in worship as when you did the worst thing that you've ever done? That's God's heart. It's not your heart, not my heart. And we naturally think, you know, I naturally think God's mad at me when I'm bad and happy with me when I'm good. And if I'm good for a long time and do the right things, God is more and more happy, and that builds up. But if I've screwed up and then I keep messing up over and over again, God becomes less and less happy with me each time. And then eventually God's like, man, Ryan, I've given you so many chances. Now that's how our minds can work, but that's not how God's mind works. God's disposition towards you never changes. God doesn't change his mind about you. God's heart beats for you whether you obey him or not. Now, we'll get into Romans of how we live in response to the gospel. But the gospel is this: while you are still a sinner, Jesus died for you because Jesus loves sinners. Verse 9. Since, therefore, another therefore, since what I've just said, we have been justified, the word again, by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. As it's Father's Day, I said Happy Father's Day to all of you. I realize that means different things to different people in this room. For some of you, Father's Day is joyful. Some of you, it's a little touchy. And for others of you, Father's Day is somewhat painful. And if you look at kind of the sciences on presence or absence of our fathers, it makes a big difference on our lives. And there's, in recent decades, done a lot of studies on how that bears itself out in our lives, that the presence of our fathers indicates many things. So you can look up many studies on your own time, but I'll just give you a few things that they have found, that children with fathers in the home are 4 times less likely to live in poverty. Or children with fathers in the home do way better in school. Third thing is they have fewer behavioral problems. Fourth thing is they are far less likely to be incarcerated. Or the fifth thing is they're far more emotionally stable. Or you can find a whole list of things that are scientifically bared out in research right now. But above all that, I think there's one thing that we all look for from our Father, and that is their approval. Now, this looks differently for boys and girls, but I think our core need, the one thing we look for from our earthly father, is their approval. Dad, do you approve of me? Are you proud of me? Do I have it? Am I good enough? I think it's the burning question we ask of our dads, whether we say it out loud or we never do. And when we feel like we don't have their approval, that leads to many other problems for us later in life to deal with. Now, research tells us that we ask this of our earthly fathers. I also think it's true that we take this question directly to our heavenly Father. God, do you approve of me? God, do you love me? God, do you really forgive that? God, do you accept me, sins and all? And the answer here in God's word is, yeah, not because you deserve it, but absolutely because of what Jesus has done. You have your heavenly Father's approval. Because of Jesus, you are reconciled. You have received reconciliation. That means you are invited into the Father's presence. You are justified. You have shalom with God. You have God's approval because Jesus loves sinners. And then the last few verses, verse 12. It's a little thick now. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sin, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. It's a little thick, we're actually not going to talk about that. 15 though, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace that one man, Jesus Christ, gave us. So at bedtime, these days, you know, we can each kind of take a child and put them in and sing them to bed, but, you know, in a number of weeks, we're going to be outnumbered. But for now, Amy and I can still, you know, put one of our children to bed and sing to them. And so sometimes I'll lay down next to Sam and sing. Different song, different night, sometimes I'll ask. But sometimes the song goes like this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a... Daddy, what's a wretch? A bad person, a person who, you know, says mean things, does mean things, who, you know, takes stuff that's not theirs, who's kind of selfish and just, you know, thinks about themselves all the time. So, you know, like, basically like you and your brother. No, I did not say that. The song does not say a wretch like you, but it says a wretch like me. Jesus loves sinners. And as it talks about Adam and Jesus, what we inherited from our first parents, Adam and Eve, the decision they made to say no to God and yes to being their own God, everything breaks in the world and nothing works like it should, and it runs through the world and runs through my heart. And what was lost and broken with Adam and Eve, with Adam, God restores in Jesus. At that moment of deepest pain in the universe, God promises a Savior in Jesus. And so Jesus comes and makes right what was made wrong at the beginning, because Jesus loves sinners. So may the peace that passes our understanding, may it guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.